John Gibbons.
John Gibbons. It's basketball. Football. I don't know.
John Gibbons?
John Gibbons, no.
What's your favorite sport?
Baseball.
John Gibbons is the manager of...
Cleveland? I don't know.
John Gibbons is the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. And after a controversial loss yesterday on replay to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays...
there was multiple controversies yesterday.
This was the one where they looked at replay and said, oh, he made contact.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first instance of the new rule of you can't make contact with a fielder coming into play. And in response to that, John Gibbons said, quote, I guess we'll come out wearing dresses next time. Maybe that's what everybody's looking for. That didn't sit well with a lot of people.
Yankees had a problem, too.
Yeah. And he also said, you're turning the game into a joke. This is flat out embarrassing. So he was not happy with instant replay being used to determine that, yes, there was a tiny, tiny bit of incidental contact between a base runner and a fielder. So we're going to let an overthrow to first base count as an out.
Yeah, stupid. I agree with him.
Bad. Yeah.
Chris Jenkins.
He's not the guy in Detroit.
No.
Keep waiting for the guy in Detroit to come up. Chris Jenkins. No, I got nothing on Chris Jenkins.
He is the name that everybody was talking about on Monday night if you were watching the NCAA basketball tournament.
Oh, three-point guy.
He made for Villanova to win over North Carolina. So not only... he made them be the new champion. He also made multiple memes be created of a crying Michael Jordan, which we all enjoy seeing. Now, yesterday, UConn's women team, they had a four-peat, four back-to-back championships. Huge. The shot that he made was... Did you watch any of the game?
I've seen the highlight reel. I didn't watch
it. Honestly, four
Kansas.
In game.
I had Kansas winning.
I did too.
Okay. And in the
did
other...
Did anybody in your office pool have Villanova?
Somebody won the thing, so somebody had something. And then in the other thing that I was in, I think the best placed finisher that I had was Duke. And I was just like, this whole March Madness thing. I was so done with it by Monday night.
Well, I mean, into
I was
the
done with
Elite
it last
eight,
weekend when Kansas
your,
went out.
Well, three quarters of your number one seeds were gone.
Yeah.
But the thing about this game was it was pretty evenly matched. No team was up more than 6-8 points. And going into the final 2 minutes, it was some of the best basketball you're going to see at the college level.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, no, I heard it was a thrilling game, and I saw the clip, and I heard everybody interviewing Chris Jenkins yesterday. Seems like a really nice kid, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Great story about this kid. His mother was having some personal problems, so he was adopted by the family of his stepbrother. And his stepbrother was actually playing on UNC. So... he caused his brother to lose the game. But afterwards, his stepbrother was like, I'm sad we lost, but I'm glad for what happened to you. And that's just an amazing moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we watch sports, if we're not bitter about not getting into the money.
And don't sue.
Yeah. So how many is that?
That's four.
So this is my last one? Or
This is your fourth one to me.
Oh, okay.
So that was my fourth.
All right. Ford Motor Company.
Ford is investing, I believe it is $1.6 billion in a new plant in Mexico, much to the angst of Donald Trump. Yeah.
Give that girl a hand.
Now, how many are we losing? About 7,000, 8,000 jobs here in the United States?
They're going to have 2,800 workers
United
at this plant.
United Auto Worker Union are so mad.
Yeah, they're going to have 2,800 workers at this plant in Mexico by 2020. They maintain that they're going to be hiring more people in the United States, but what they're doing is they're basically taking all of their production of the C-Max and the Focus outside of the country. And currently the Fiesta is already made in Mexico, so Ford is making all of its small cars outside of the country. It's a bad look.
And if you're wondering where our American jobs are going, they're going there. And Ford's probably paying 50 cents a dollar an hour and then shipping all that money back into our country tax-free. That's fun.
It's worse than that. Where? Yeah. Let me see if I can find this. The average...
So if anybody can get on board with one thing that Donald Trump says, at least get on board with this. What he is saying, and he is condemning companies like Ford, who are like, no, we're not doing anything wrong. Yeah, they did. This week, they announced, as I said, they're putting a $1.6 billion plant in Mexico. Not New Mexico, Mexico.
Center for Automotive Research reports that the average Mexican worker earns $7.79 per hour, including benefits, for making parts or assembling vehicles. That's less than the minimum wage in the United States. In the United States, the average worker gets $37.38 an hour, and the average Canadian worker gets $39.04. So, if you can get the Mexicans doing it for $8 an hour, you can make a lot more profits. And that's exactly what this is about. This is a terrible, terrible look for Ford Motor Company. I am surprised that a company would be this tone deaf in the middle of this, where this is an issue.
This has been pointed out by Trump and whatever you want to say again about him, but pointed out and saying this is wrong that an American company is doing this.
That's just a massive, massive amount of hubris to say, hey, oh, no, we're going to go make the cars down there.
It's cheaper.
Good news for Chevrolet. That's what this is. Good news for Chevrolet. Because what
I hope many people stop and think about buying a truck there.
What you do is you come back with a marketing campaign that says our vehicles are made in the United States. And drop the mic.
Yeah, and your advertisement is saying we make cars for the American working man.
Yeah.
The American working man doesn't have a job. He can't buy your truck because his job that he was working at the automotive, you know, factory. Sorry, bye, laid off.
Poor, very, very, very poor.
All right, last one for you. Alaska Air.
Alaska Air is buying Virgin Atlantic Airlines for 4 point something billion, 4.4?
Nah, 2.6.
2.6.
But you got it.
Who is the 4 point? That might have been the Pfizer Allergan thing. But
yes.
Yes. That was 4.4.
Another one. A lot of big mergers going on.
Well,
Pfizer, they're like, that's off.
Pfizer Allergan is off because Congress said you can't reincorporate in Ireland and save tax money anymore.
The laws.
Shocker.
Crazy.
Shocker. If you eliminate the tax loophole, companies keep doing business in the United States.
Strange.
Shocker.
And so weird. But what they were trying to say is give both of the airlines an edge against the competition, expands its reach into California. A lot of people, use these two companies. They figured, put them together.
I knew Branson wanted to get rid of the airline because he more or less came out and said that last month. He was, I'm focused on other things. I'm not really interested in this airline anymore. This is what he made all of his money off of, too. What I didn't know was that Alaska Airlines was in a position to buy something at that level. Mm-hmm. I always thought of Alaska Air as this really small regional airline.
And just island hopped around.
Yeah. Hey, we got a couple $1 billion. We'll buy that.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. I will not hold it against you if you don't get this one. because this is a story of a different era, but it's still an important one. Kitty Genovese. Or Genovese, if you prefer.
So it's a name?
Yes.
How do you spell the first name?
Kitty. K-I-T-T-Y. Kitty Genovese.
Actress?
No.
Singer?
No.
What is it?
Bartender. Huh. Kitty Genovese was the bartender who was raped and stabbed to death going back to her apartment in New York in 1964, a case which led to the discovery of the so-called bystander effect, where a large group of people seeing someone in distress will fail to take action because they assume someone else who is mm-hmm. more qualified, or whatever reasons they have, they assume someone else will intervene. Her killer, Winston Moseley, died at Dannemora Prison in New York on March 28th. That was just announced this week. So the man who killed Kitty Genovese is no longer with us.
Hmm.
Sort of an infamous crime story.
You had a good week.
And one of those...
What'd you get? Three?
I got two, didn't I?
No, three.
Well, you got...
One.
No, you got more than one. You got two.
One.
No, you got at least two.
I got one. I got Ford.
You got Ford. And you got Ford.
I knew the exact number on Ford, though.
Yes, you did, which was impressive.
Because that story made me so mad.
WMFO Medford, I need to keep saying that over and over again to keep the FCC happy. Well, we know why. It's because we've been reading up on the Panama Papers and all of the fun that's been going on with that.
Oh, I've been looking everywhere for pieces of these documents.
We are going to get you caught up on what's going on with this, what it's about, what it means, and how it is relevant to your life when we come back here on WMFO Medford.
Hey, honey, what you trying to say? As I stand here, don't you walk away.
international struggles of our world may lead to nuclear holocaust. To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive-All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive-All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive-All shelter today.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
I don't mind you coming here, wasting all my time, 'cause when you're standing oh so near, I kinda lose my mind. It's not the perfume that you wear, it's not the ribbons in your hair. I don't mind you coming here and wasting all my time.
WMFO Medford, The Big Picture with Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols here with you till 9 o'clock. And call in, be a part of the show, and you can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800.
Just for the record, listed on the iDevice as Panama by Van Halen. So this is iTunes working its mystery voodoo once again, where it will periodically go in and overwrite your song files and just rearrange all the connections for no good reason.
Well, it is Panama Paper Pandemonium. Say that three times fast.
Panama Paper Pandemonium.
Yeah.
Can we say shirking three times fast?
Nobody knows what shirking is.
Everybody
if you
knows.
If you know what shirking is and you are under the age of 35, please, please give the station. Go to our Facebook page. Nobody knows what shirking is.
I can't believe.
I don't know what shirking is. Nobody uses the word shirking.
I can't believe that millennials have no idea what the word shirking means.
Nobody knows.
It's stunning to me.
Who uses that
everybody
word?
Everybody uses that word.
I don't know. Your brain is so archaic sometimes
How could you be in management and not know the word shirking? Because I know that you have management level responsibilities where you work.
Nobody uses the word shirking.
So what?
At least in the hospitality industry. You know what? Enlighten me on the marketing industry
So what do you call somebody who's shirking?
Explain it again. It's somebody that doesn't do what they're supposed
to. It's somebody that ignores or avoids their work responsibilities.
Slacker.
That's not the same thing.
Procrastinator.
No, that's not the same thing.
Procrastination.
No, it's no, not. It's it not. It's
you're making up stupid words.
I'm not making up words. This was a word that everybody used when I was growing up, and I didn't realize.
You have to understand, in this generation now, if you have a word that is like a K-I-N-G, they're going to think it has to do with twerking or some sort of dirty dance.
I didn't realize that I was using all this old-timey language, and I will make an effort to be more contemporary on the program. I'm stunned that nobody knows what that word means.
Nope.
You put me in a room full of...
See, you're having no phone calls because nobody knows.
Put me in a room full of people my age, and they will know exactly what shirking means.
All right.
They will know that I spend a good portion of each day doing it.
Now, if you are like Derek and I, you may have heard in the past couple days something about the Panama Papers. Maybe you don't exactly know what was in it, so that's why we're here. It's the biggest information leak in the history of journalism. Now I'm talking about bigger than Edward Snowden, bigger than WikiLeaks. If you want just a number, we're looking at 11.5 million files.
That's a lot of files.
It's a million.
And out of that, 4.8 million of them are emails.
Yeah. Now, this was coming from a Panama-based firm, Mossack Fonseca. Now, basically, all these files were handed over to journalists. We're looking at 107 newspapers in 76 countries. They were all involved in sifting through this information.
This is a consortium for international journalism. Got these a year ago from an anonymous source.
Sent it to a German newspaper, Süddeutsche.
And as CNN is fond of reminding us in their coverage, they haven't been able to independently verify this, which basically tells you that CNN is not part of the Consortium of International Journalism, probably because there are no journalists left there, would be my guess.
Apparently, they did offer it to Washington Post, New York Times, and they passed on it. Now, Guardian, BBC, two of the big names that we're seeing in it.
Actual news organizations.
It constitutes as 2.6 terabytes. Just to put it in sense of how much that is, that would be the hard drives of 13 regular laptops to store all of the information. I mean, this dwarfs all of these other leaks. As I said, WikiLeaks, Edward Snowden. Now, among the clients that were in this, we have 143 public figures and political leaders, 12 heads of states or heads of government, including six currently in office. I think it got bumped down to five. Because you had yesterday the prime minister, after thousands of people protested on the streets of Iceland, for the prime minister to resign.
Yeah.
And he stepped away because, as we found out, in one of these offshore accounts, he had about $2 million that he did not claim when he came into office. That's a big no-no.
Something like 3% of the entire population of Iceland showed up outside of Parliament and threw eggs.
Yeah.
And the leaders of Iceland, which only has 330,000 people, sees an angry mob of 10,000 outside, and they're like, whatever they want, give it to them.
Now, other names that you might recognize: Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, the King of the United Arab Emirates, and the King of Saudi Arabia also showed up. Big one, of course, our friend Vladimir Putin. His name didn't show up per se.
No.
But pretty much everybody connected to the man did.
If you grew up with Vladimir Putin, chances are your name is on some documents somewhere with Mossack Fonseca.
No, not directly connected. He's one of the ways that he is mentioned is because of this Russian bank, Rosa. Now, it's a main bank for those in power. I think last year you had people in Senate calling this, you know, the Russian bank where all the cronies put all their money in. You had one of his like right-hand guys who is the godfather of his eldest daughter. Everybody's connected.
Yeah.
Kremlin is staying hush about it. They're saying this is America. We actually got a new term. It's called Putin-phobia.
Putin-phobia.
Yep. This is all American propaganda. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Well, interesting to bring that up, because one of the more notable things about these 11.5 million documents is that there really aren't any Americans mentioned anywhere in this.
Should I say yet?
And that's raising some eyebrows, because the possibility is that no one has been mentioned yet. The possibility is that Americans aren't using Mossack Fonseca because it's very easy to dodge taxes here at home. Or the possibility is that whoever hacked these documents, and Mossack Fonseca has said this was a fairly sophisticated hack, went through and purged the documents and only delivered things that would be harmful to particular enemies of the United States, including Russia, including China, including Syria. Bashar al-Assad's cousin is one of the people involved in all of this. And I guess we would call the prime minister of Iceland collateral damage. Got to make it look good.
What about Jackie Chan? Apparently, he has a few offshore accounts. I mean, and we're not just talking about political leaders. There were also sports stars and celebrities. Lionel Messi, you know, one of the biggest soccer stars, was named in this. A lot of people involved with FIFA. Shocking.
Stunner.
Shocking.
Stunner. People involved in FIFA are... So what do these guys do?
No, I mean, essentially what we know now is a bunch of politicians, bunch of rich people avoid taxes, stashing cash on these offshore islands.
Yeah.
You know, in the Seychelles, the Bahamas, Panama, whatnot. But, I mean, you also know that many tax havens, these offshore tax havens, are legal. So you really have to ask, does it even matter? Because if we look at prior breaches, you know, what were the big three? Iraq and Afghan leaks. Was it the Snowden files and the Swiss leaks?
Yeah.
Nobody was actually charged with any crimes there. And the only people that were the whistleblowers.
Right.
So does it even matter to us? Well, it does. And one thing that it shows is how much money is just out there, isn't in a certain country. Now, we're looking at numbers of, what is it? About 20 trillion. That's trillion with a T. Trillion dollars floating around on these offshore companies. So whether this is a rich person, a politician, essentially it's a person that is not getting taxed on this money. What do taxes go to? Taxes go to infrastructure, taxes go to healthcare. Everything that you put money into, Massachusetts, federal, state, you get back.
Here's what Mossack Fonseca, or as I like to call them, MoFo, actually does. They are a law firm. It incorporated in Panama with offices all over the world, including two offices right here in the United States of America. They create corporations. That's what they do. So you call up Mossack Fonseca and you say, I want to create a corporation. Why would you create a corporation? Well, there is a lot of reasons why you would want to do it. What they specialize in is creating corporations where the actual owner of the company, the so-called beneficial owner in international law, is obscured. So let's say, for example, I am a wealthy businessman and I want to hide some money from the United States government. So, or an even better example, I'll make it very, very specific about this. I want to buy a property that's worth $1 million here in the United States, because I know I can sell it for $2 million and I don't want to pay any taxes on that.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that as Derek Gary, there is no avoiding those taxes because all of that gets reported to the IRS. It's all a matter of public record. If I go to Mossack Fonseca and set up Drunken Bum Holding Company.
Yes.
And then set up I Love Whiskey Holding Company as the manager of Drunken Bum Holding Company, I can now obscure the fact that I have anything to do with this transaction. So Drunken Bum Holding Company goes and buys this property, sells it for twice as much, but because it is a transaction outside of a United States entity, I'm only subject to some local taxes on it. The rest of the money goes to Drunken Bum Holding Company and then gets paid out to I Love Whiskey Holding Company, which eventually finds its way back into my bank account.
Hmm.
This is why these shell
Sounds
companies exist.
Dirty.
It's not, which is the problem. What I have done is completely legal.
It is.
And Mossack Fonseca were specialists in keeping their clients on the right side of international law.
That's the thing. I mean, we're talking about a difference between legality and whether it's right or wrong.
It's unethical. It's immoral. I know what I'm doing when I set up those shell companies, and I am being a bad citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I am taking money away from the government that the government has a legitimate claim to.
I mean, essentially, American companies and tax havens go together like American companies and tax havens. It's always something that's going to be there. The bigger question is, and as you said, why is no American names coming up? I truly believe it's not yet. I think that it's waiting to be a complete mess.
There is an interesting component that came up in all of this, which is in the United States, Mossack Fonseca has its offices in Nevada. Because Nevada, and in particular Wyoming, mm-hmm. of all places.
Delaware as well.
Delaware, but not so much. Nevada and Wyoming are the two big ones. Do not require someone who sets up a company to be disclosed to state government officials. So I can set up a company in Wyoming, my drunken bum holding company, and no one is ever going to tell the state of Wyoming, oh, Derek Gary owns Drunken Bum Holding Company. They have to keep that information on file in their office, but the state of Wyoming can only get that information with a subpoena.
Mm-hmm.
And at the point that the subpoena goes out, oops, our hard drive died. Oops, the office burned down. Oops, someone misplaced that. And you were probably paying different levels of fees to get those levels of service.
Now, so far, as you've seen in this and wondering why no American names have showed up, one thing that is showing light on it, the fact that United States is an actual tax haven.
Yes. Number three in the world.
Would you think that? No.
Number three in the world.
But it is.
Because...
But you have to be naive, I believe, to think that you aren't at some point, because we're talking, as we said, 11.5 million files to go through. I'm sure very carefully these are going to be timed out. And again, we are an election year. I promise you, you will see people that are from Congress, are from Senate, whether you have, what, there's a couple millionaires from Texas that are in Congress right now. I'm sure they've been doing some offshore. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some connections with the Clinton Foundation, if we can hope. Not that it's going to indict her in anything or make her look any worse.
I think what you're going to find is that international business people who are associated with large donations to the Clinton Foundation are also involved in these offshore holding companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have teams of people trying to get their hands on these documents and go through every last one of them to find out which of Hillary Clinton's associates and which people she dealt with in the State Department are
involved
in this. Now, it's all legal. This is the thing. It's all legal. Mossack Fonseca is basically a bunch of clever lawyers who spend their time looking at all of the international tax laws and figuring out how to conceal the identities of people moving large amounts of money. That's what it's supposed to be all about. The Prime Minister of Iceland, Sigmundur Gunnlaugsson, said, I didn't do anything wrong. I set this up as a blind trust for my wife's holdings.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he had a very wealthy wife who'd inherited a lot of money, including shares in several major Icelandic banks. That's where most of Iceland's wealth comes from. That and the fact that they are completely energy self-sufficient. But all their money comes from international banking. They're a convenient stop between the United States and Europe. So a lot of stuff can be reconciled in Iceland, and they have a big banking industry. So decisions that he made involving those banks potentially created millions of dollars of profit for his wife's holdings. What he did is actually fairly common. Whenever somebody running for came up with Donald Trump a couple months ago, where somebody said, what are you going to do with all your investments? Mm-hmm. And he said, all my investments go to my kids. I'm out of that game if I get elected president. Somebody brought it up with another leading politician, and what they usually do is they throw the stuff in a blind trust. It was Mitt Romney 4 years ago. Everything goes in a blind trust. The candidate doesn't know what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, the candidate doesn't know what's in there. So if a piece of legislation makes them some money, you can't go back and say, well, you passed that legislation to make
just
yourself
to get
rich.
The money. Mm-hmm.
This is Gunnlaugsson's perspective. The people's perspective is you knew those banks were in there. You knew
we're
exactly what you were doing.
We're in the midst of a financial crisis, and we're finding out that the prime minister of our country is now skating on tax laws.
You're corrupt, and you are looting the public treasury and enriching yourself. And the fact that you look like Toronto Mayor Rob Ford doesn't do you any favors at all. Please get out of office.
On a diet.
Yeah. So this is a common thing. Now, the other aspect of this is if you can set up all of these corporations and move money in between them to hide ownership, you could also use those corporations for things like money laundering or illegal activities, such as moving arms between North Korea and Iran.
Now we're starting to get into some problems.
Or potentially funneling money out of Saudi Arabia into a terrorist organization. Or funneling money directly to Iran, or funneling money directly to North Korea. All things that have been alleged. Mm-hmm. There have also been a number of people, including Adnan Khashoggi, who was the arms dealer at the Center for Iran-Contra back in the late 1980s, who have known connections to the CIA, or suspected connections to the CIA, as well as people who had connections to the Stasi, and people who had connections to the KGB, whose names are all over shell corporations set up by Mossack Fonseca.
I mean, your biggest hotbeds are coming out of the Middle East. And there, Russia, whether we're talking about in some parts of Asia, China being a big one, a big, big hotbed is in the Middle East. You have everybody, if you picture it, it's almost like a spider web. So many people are connected. And understanding that a lot of that money and why this is used is to fuel terrorism.
Yeah. To fuel terrorism, to circumvent sanctions, because we issue all these sanctions against Vladimir Putin's friends. Vladimir Putin's friends set up a bunch of shell corporations, and they can still move the money around. And no one is the wiser.
How many times have we questioned why we are bringing arms, or why are we connected somehow to arms in the Middle East? There's that big question mark. Because we have connections to this.
Yes.
Somehow, then these arms get in the hands of terrorists.
The interesting...
We are part of the problem.
The interesting thing about this is not so much that this company exists, because there are hundreds of companies like this all over the world.
Absolutely. This is just one of them. This isn't even the biggest. I think it's the third.
It's that this is sort of a who's who of international villainy. This is where Spectre goes to launder their funds. And it seems that somebody at Mossack Fonseca understood this, or at least several somebodies, because one of the more amusing details about this, one British client suggested naming their holding company Universal Exports. Anyone familiar with the James Bond movies knows that Universal Exports was the shell company that MI6 used to operate all of its safe houses and all of its financial dealings around the world. But that's not as far as it goes. Some of the actual incorporated registered companies for Mossack Fonseca include Goldfinger, Skyfall, GoldenEye, Moonraker, Spectre, and Blofeld.
So somebody was having fun with their little shell.
This is people who have a sense of humor about what's going on and know exactly who they're dealing with.
I understand it.
This is...
No, absolutely. On many levels, you have the rich businessman that's probably just trying to hide money so his wife doesn't get it in a divorce at the small level. But we're looking at on the bigger grand scheme. And when you have names that are popping up that have connections to leaders in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in China, in Russia, what? How can you just close an eye to this?
In the case of Iran and North Korea, companies like this basically allow those countries to stay involved in the international marketplace. Mm-hmm. Because with all these shell companies set up, you can completely avoid economic sanctions. And you can make the big complaint about, the sanctions are killing the people. Meanwhile, the leaders are flush with cash because they're moving it through back channels.
And as I said, through these companies and islands, we're talking about $20 trillion that is floating around, but also about half of the world's imports and exports are going through these channels as well.
And when there's that much business moving through, it's easy to move drug money through. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to move guns through. And it's easy to move anything through because nobody outside of Mossack Fonseca knows where any of this stuff is actually going.
They don't care. They get their money. They get paid. They do their job.
And in some cases, there was at least one case that Australian TV reported on where somebody set up a shell company. It was a Hong Kong company owned by two brothers known as the Kwok brothers, one of whom was just jailed on tax evasion charges, where they basically said, never send us any email.
Mm-hmm. Australia is actually investigating about 800 people that were named in the leaks. You're also seeing in Austria investigating two very large banks involved in this as well for money laundering. So we're not talking about tax avoidance. We're talking about money laundering. Illegal.
Not to mention the various and sundry connections to former people connected with some of the most well-known intelligence agencies on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. This is a go-to place.
So now the big question is, what's next? Because we're not even touching the top of this. I believe more and more is going to come out in the days, in the weeks. We're probably looking into the year.
This is where it matters in individual Americans' lives, because we sit around and we talk about how upset we are about income inequality. That's a big issue right now. That is one of the defining issues of this campaign, mm-hmm. is income inequality. Where is all the money going? This is a question that you can't sit there and say, oh, income inequality, it's bad. What's happening with this? Why are those executives getting all the money? You can't simply say that. You need to look at it and understand this is where the money is going.
Mm-hmm.
The money is being funneled to a handful of people, ultimately. And some of it is just disappearing into this warren of shell companies. Only to be seen again when the handful of people who hold the keys to these companies decide that they need it.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they die and it gets left to their heirs.
And if you look at it, a lot of the problems that are going on with money leaving the country, it is going to from illegal immigrants sending money back into their countries, a large sum of that. But an even bigger sum is from these 1% that are putting the money into the islands, putting them into these shell companies. If we look at any of the real estate, the really, really large numbers, I'm talking 20 million plus, whether it's the penthouses in New York City or Malibu, majority of those buyers are all coming from Asia,
yes,
and Europe.
And what they're doing,
they're not Americans buying American property.
No.
They're all international.
London is a great example of this because the price
those
of...
Those people are involved in this.
The price of a one-bedroom house in London is now over $1 million.
And that was another problem. Why is London so expensive when they don't have the money? It's not there. Because it's all international buyers.
London has actually made it very, very easy for these international offshore companies to come in and buy property.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Saudi Arabians buying, you've got Chinese buying, you've got Russians buying. Everybody who is skimming money off the people is buying property in London. And once you've bought all the property in London, well, you go buy some in California and you go buy some in Vancouver. We've talked about that. People who have become wealthy in China and are concerned about preserving that wealth are sinking their money into overseas real estate.
This is what we were saying Erdogan's son was getting involved with, basically buying, I think it was upwards of a $60 million real estate portfolio in Western Europe. I wouldn't be surprised if that name pops up very soon.
And some of these people are buying yachts, they're buying jets, they're buying all sorts of things that they shouldn't have, that if they had them, there would be all sorts of public outcry about what are you doing with a $30 million yacht? Where did you get that private jet? So you use your holding company to buy the jet, and then you lease the jet from the holding company so that you get the full use of it without anybody. And by the way, you get to use some public money if you're an elected leader or public official. You get to use some public money to lease that jet, and the money's actually going back to you. So not only do you get the jet, but you get to operate it for free.
It's like being an Uber driver and driving your girlfriend around to her job because her job pays for it.
Yeah.
Goes back to you.
Yeah. London is actually making $84 billion a year off of these offshore shell companies. The City of London, which is the one of the biggest financial hubs in the world. In terms of managing these things and settling accounts and all the rest of this, $84 billion a year. It is the fastest growing segment of the UK economy. So, yes, you're losing. They're sitting around complaining about, well, Google didn't pay its $300 million in taxes or its $1 billion in taxes that they owed us. But they're getting $84 billion from a different channel. But that's London. Mm-hmm. Not every country in the world. Panama's obviously making out on
this. Well, it's interesting because you have Prime Minister David Cameron, who had built his entire, you know, administration and when he was running for office based on going against the cronies. I am against tax evasion, whatnot, blah, blah, blah. His father is named in this.
Yeah, his father had an offshore holding company set up.
Do you think
to hold his
that
investments?
He didn't know anything about it? Come on.
No, he's dodging taxes. He's very obviously dodging taxes. Edward Snowden actually had a great comment on that today because the initial reaction from Downing Street was to tweet that it was a family matter. And Edward Snowden replied, oh, suddenly David Cameron is concerned about privacy, which was a perfect response to that. This matters to you because this is a tool that people are using to take your money and never let you know what happened to it. Some of your work, some of what you pour yourself into every single day, goes to keep these elites afloat and to give them extra money that they can bury offshore with zero accountability and spend however they like. And we just gave you an example of how you could lease a jet from your holding company as an elected official, and your tax dollars are paying for them to lease a jet that they own. Is that fair? Is that something that you are able to take care of? There's two solutions here. Number one, either make it possible for anybody to set up offshore companies for like a buck. I may go into that business. Right. I'm thinking about it. If our virtual reality Tinder thing doesn't work out, I may go into that business. People need to demand that these tax loopholes get closed. And one thing that occurs to me that actually works in Donald Trump's favor, because either he's crazy like a fox or he just doesn't know, he proposed that Mexico would finance the wall over holding up the $24 million that gets sent, or the $24 billion that gets sent in remittances every year from the United States to Mexico. Talked about this on the show before. This is a crucial source of cash for Mexico. Mm-hmm. So Trump's saying, give us $5 billion or you don't get your $24 billion. That's a drop in the bucket compared to what is moving through Mossack Fonseca. So either Donald Trump doesn't know what's going on with these offshore companies, or he knows all about it and he's playing the game. I like to think he doesn't know. But he's an international.
He was one of the only people, too, that was originally talking about a concrete tax plan and saying to these companies, we'll give you 48 hours to bring your money back in at a really low rate. Something needs to change.
This is exactly the sort of thing that he's been talking about. This is exactly the sort of thing that Bernie Sanders has been talking about. And that's why these candidates.
There's a great sound clip. If you want to hear it, what was it? He was speaking to Congress last year about this exact same thing.
Yeah.
And how it is ruining our country. It is ruining the global market. Check it out.
This is why it's relevant, is because a lot of money is just disappearing and will never find its way back to the people in the form of taxes that should be paid. 617-627-3800. When we come back, our favorite stories from the past week and the strangest stories of the past week. You won't want to miss those right here on WMFO Medford.
Spring was never waiting for on down. It's dinner time at Big Mama's house. All the family's here, and everybody's cooked a dish. The table is set. A huge ham. Cousin Scooter's candied yams, Shirley's hot turnip greens, Pop's potato salad, Junior's cornbread, and Aunt Rose's sweet potato pie. Mm-mm-mm. You can almost taste it. And almost is going to have to do, because your jaw is wired shut. All because you didn't think you needed a seatbelt just to go down the street. If you'd only known that almost 1 million African Americans were injured in car crashes last year, you would have been wearing your seatbelt and this story wouldn't have gotten all twisted, and you wouldn't still have that bad aftertaste in your mouth from that windshield. So, buckle up, because you never know.
This message has been brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
WMFO. This is The Big Picture, and it's time for What's Hot, the best news story from this week. And baseball's back. I'm excited. Yeah, I know you hate baseball. I don't want to hear
it. Boring.
Now, every year, I always bring you the craziest, best, most outrageous food items that you are going to find at ballparks around the country.
Oh, yeah.
So first, we are going to start with Atlanta Braves. They have the Burgeritza. So this is at Turner Field, a 20-ounce patty, 5 slices of cheddar, bacon on a bun, made with 2-inch pepperoni pizzas. That's your top and bottom bun. Yeah.
Nobody asked for that.
Apparently everybody did.
Nobody asked for that.
Multiple locations. This sounds amazing. The Korean fried pork belly sandwich. Now that you can't get it at Fenway Park, but if you go to Coors, Fenway Park actually has it. What it is, it's fried pork, includes pineapple, yummy, delicious. I mean, pork belly, awesome.
Pork belly doesn't really do it for me.
How about the Miami Mex Taco Dog? That's at the Miami Marlins. It's basically a hot dog with beans on it and all the toppings that you would put on a taco. Two flavors. This sounds amazing. Detroit, you can get the brat popped. It's a deep fried brat. Yes.
Nobody needs that.
Houston, nobody you needs have that. The sweet potato. They're switching up this year. They're going a little bit healthier. The sweet potato chicken and waffle sandwich. So you have chicken on the inside, waffle on the outside, but it's made from sweet potatoes. So, you know.
The waffles are made from sweet potatoes.
Yes. Sounds amazing.
That's still not healthy.
Chicago Reds have the Meat Lover's Dog. This is going to be a bacon-wrapped hot dog topped with fried salami, pulled pork, queso blanco, and pickles. Meat Lover's hot dog.
No, that's just wrong.
You would like this one, Derek. In Texas, you can get the chicken and donut skewer. Yeah, exactly what you think. It's drizzled with sweet and sour honey barbecue sauce. As well.
I don't need chicken and donuts together on a skewer.
In New York, you can get the spicy Korean fried chicken sandwich. Sounds amazing. St. Louis Cardinals, the Hill meatball cone. So that is a bread made to look like a cone.
Yeah.
With pasta in it and meatballs.
Can I just get the bread and the meatballs without the pasta?
Yeah.
Do I need two kinds of starch in that snack?
This sounds amazing. Ready? Toronto Blue Jays, buffalo cauliflower poutine. Yes. One of my favorite dishes. Ready? Over in Highland, I can't even think of it now.
Highland Kitchen?
Highland Kitchen, yes. Brain stopped. Highland Kitchen, they have a buffalo fried Brussels sprouts. I don't know what happens. Buffalo fried cauliflower, add little cheese curds. Yes, absolutely.
Cauliflower doesn't have that much flavor to begin with. So you're
so
just
you can go to any of these.
Spice.
The only one that pops up for Fenway is the pork belly sandwich, which does sound amazing. Some grilled pineapple on there. And you're still going to have all your staples at Fenway Park. I think they're introducing more gluten-free options.
Oh, goody.
Yay.
Why can't we get a 20-ounce hamburger patty between two pizzas?
I mean, can we upgrade the Fenway Frank yet?
Can we please? No, the Fenway Frank's a classic. That's the only thing I'm eating when I go there.
I want meat wrapped around the meat,
yeah,
on top of meat. And I want to carry it in a meat vehicle. I don't need the bread.
Can we get a Fenway Frank wrapped in other Fenway Franks?
Sounds plausible.
Really what we're asking for. We're going to have to do a thing that happened next week because we are almost out of time. Star Wars. Everybody loves Star Wars.
No, we don't.
I told everyone to go out and get the Sphero BB-8 last fall, which is the coolest Star Wars toy ever. This is the little droid. It looks exactly like the one in the movie. It sounds exactly like the one in the movie. It's controlled by your smartphone. Yesterday, to celebrate the launch of The Force Awakens on Blu-ray and DVD, they updated the app, and it has a new mode called Watch With Me, where you set up a BB-8 in front of your TV, and you set your smartphone down next to it, and BB-8 will watch the movie alongside you. And it will react to the things that are happening in the movie. And it's really cool.
And it's so stupid.
It's real. No, because if you're into BB-8,
you knock
if you're into
me
the movie,
for all my dumb things.
I know.
You just bring, it's a nerd fest
this is
all the time.
Look, I am the first to admit this is hardcore nerd stuff.
Yeah, let me sit down and watch a movie with my robot that I'm going to attach to my phone. What?
But this is awesome hardcore nerd stuff.
You are so...
Because